Amen. Ought to be thankful. And so one of the things I'm thankful about Landmark Baptist Church is the way I was received here whenever I moved here in 1988. I moved up from Cape Coral, Florida. But before I ever moved here, I joined the church. And they stood me up right down here and had everybody come by and shake my hands. And one of the first hands I shook was Terry Donahue's hand. He said, before you rent a house or move here, I need to talk to you. And so we became the first house parents out at the children's home, the first occupants of the first building that was built out there back then. And so he holds a special place for me, with me and my family. They've always been good to us, taking care of us when we were there and afterwards for years. And he's my friend. And he's a blessing. So welcome him up. He's going to come up and speak, show a presentation about his ministry.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You are the blessing. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. You know, Brother Morgan and I just look at him as he's a friend. And the Bible says when you find a friend, hold on to him. And we've been blessed with. I remember when they had no children. Now they have them. Whole bunch, amen. And it was exciting, and the times. Brother Morgan was tough with the kids. We didn't have television at the children's home, and I'll never forget the story that the kids try to play one against the other, just like they do with parents. You know, Dad said this and Mom said that. Well, they went to Brother Morgan and said, "You know that Brother Donahue has a television in his house." And Brother Morgan says, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, why can't we have one?" He says, "Maybe Brother Donahue is more spiritual than I am." And he shot that kid down, boy. But you know, that wasn't the case. I guarantee you that. But we've been blessed. I just want to say, hot dog. There was a lady came visiting us from England in my church in the Bronx. And this... is a black lady, big lady, and she'd grab a hold of you, and she wouldn't let go, you know, and she'd lock on to you, she was the mother of one of the ladies, matter of fact, one of our deacons' wife in the church, and she was visiting from England. So I was preaching, and all of a sudden she stood up and she said, "Hot dog!" And I said, "Oh man, I guess that's how they do it in England, you know." Wasn't sure. So later on, her daughter says to her, "No, no, no, we say amen. We don't say hot dog, you know." I said, "Hot dog's okay. Anything coming back is okay, you know." So, but we've been blessed. Now, you may not know it. My wife Linda sits back in the, it'd be your right, my left. She sits back in the corner there. We keep her in the corner. And but she's there. I have to be there for the security part to watch. We can see from that vantage point. I can see the doors, and it's unfortunate that we have to do that, but we do it. But anyway, she's holding down the fort for me tonight. But Linda and I were saved out of the Roman Catholic Church. We were very faithful. 1970, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But up until that time, we observed all of the rules and the obligations, and we made novenas. We did all the things. We received communion weekly, but the fact is that even to the not eating meat on Fridays, I mean, we were locked in, and then we got saved. That first hamburger on a Friday tastes the greatest. After all those years, I'll tell you. We were childhood sweethearts. I should say we are childhood sweethearts. Amen. We love each other. And we have to love each other to put up with me, you know. But the fact is that God has really put us together and made a team. And, you know, we were married and had 8 children. We were married at 18. She was 18 and I was 20. My mother had a sign for me to get married, because that was the laws back then. We'll be married 60 years this year. And the fact is that we have 8 children, and our 8 children have given us 51 grand and great children. And we're blessed. We are truly blessed. And the Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. And I found out how full a quiver is. A quiver holds 7 arrows, but a good bowsman has 1 in the bow. So it makes 8. So, but anyway, we realize the Bible also says the Bible says we're commanded to replenish the earth. So we fall into that category with the 8 children. And I notice another family in the church that could beat us out, you know. So, but anyway, we rejoice for that. Also, I want you to realize that you know the effects of music in your life. And I'm sure Brother Burke could tell you how music affects you in so many different ways. But Linda and I, we had one of those our songs. And I'm sure all you have it too, but you don't want to talk about it, you know. The song that was playing maybe when you met, or a song that reminds you of her or him, you know, that kind of an our song. Well, our song was sung by that great unspiritual singer, Elvis Presley. And it was, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. That was our song. I'll get choked up because Linda sings it to me every night. No, she don't. But but the truth is that we got saved, got started in the bus ministry, and the pastor said to me, "We got a bus," and the bus was there, sitting there, and nobody could drive. I was the only one in the church that had the CDL or the Class 2 license in New York, and so I said, "Well, I could drive it. Does it work?" And he says, "Well, it needs some work." So we did some work on it quick, and we went out. We got a video of Gardner Gentry talking about the bus ministry. And he was telling us how to promote for the bus ministry, and we went crazy. And we went out on a Saturday morning. We gave out ice cream pops. We gave out ice cream cups. The kids were stuffed by the time they got off the bus. That was going to church. Then on the way home, we did it again. But we had 86 children the first day on our bus. Never ran a bus on Long Island, New York. The first one ever to run. And we brought in 86 children. But the problem was, when we got to the church, the pastor looked at me and went, "Oh my." And the kids just kept on pouring off the bus and coming off the bus. And the church only held about 75 people. So we packed them in. They were sitting on the floors, and they were up in the choir, and the preacher's trying to preach, and the kids are moving around, you know. But we had a time. I learned something else. When I was in Bible school in Louisville, Kentucky, we had a contest with the bus ministry. I'm not here to talk about the bus ministry, but it's dear to my heart. And we had a contest where the girls, we let a chicken loose, and the girls had to catch the chicken. The girl that caught the chicken got a $10 bill. So this girl comes running up with the chicken. She got the $10 bill. Well, the boys, we had a little piglet about this big. And we let the piglet loose. And the boys saw the pig, and they went running after the pig. The pig, you know, a pig can't just turn his head like this. You know, he has to go like this. And the pig was running sideways, backwards, and going out. The next thing you know, he went out of the parking lot. So we're going, "Oh man, what do we do now?" There was over 80, 90 kids running after this pig down Johnsontown Road in Louisville, Kentucky. And the people on the streets were moving out of the way. This sea of humanity comes running down with the little pig running in front of them. They got further down near Dixie Highway, Highway 31 in Valley Station. And when it got to the Dixie Highway, there was a patrolman there. He used to block traffic when the churches came out, because there were 3 or 4 churches on that road. And he's over there. He sees the pig. He stops traffic all 3 ways. The little pig runs across the road. And then all these kids come charging after the pig. And then finally, the pig just stopped. And the kids pounced on and made bacon out of that pig. But the thing is, the little pig probably had a heart attack is what it was. He ran so hard, as fast as he could. It was over a mile that these kids chased him. And then we got a letter from the city saying we couldn't do that anymore. So, but you know, a lot of things are done in the bus ministry that we have a lot of fun with. You know, we didn't expect the pig to get away, but he did. And we watch and we see all these things happening. But that was our ministry then. Our ministry now is still with children, but it's in a different phase of life. You know how Christmas comes around and children have visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads. They're excited. What are you going to get me for Christmas? What about this? Can I get this toy? Can I get that? And the TV is blaring, trying to get them to put ideas in their head. Linda said to me the other day, she said, what you need to do is let people know that they should be as excited as the children are at Christmas as to what they're going to give God or what God's going to give them to give in faith promise. We ought to have the same joy and the same excitement, and we're challenged that way. We started a ministry with the street kids, urchins, throwaway kids, disposable children in Burma. Street urchins that just beg for a morsel of food. I don't mean it's not a word that we normally use, but just trying to get just a little bit of food to survive. This is what they needed. And the fact is that we went out, we brought them in, and we started the first orphanage. But you know, I always called it a backdoor outreach because the government did not want us there. They wanted our money, but they did not want us there. So what we did was we let the Buddhist community know that we wanted to help these children, that children would come to their door and they would give the kids food. This is how it was. So once we started taking care of these children, the Buddhists in the community said, they're not bad people. They're not trying to hurt our people. They're not trying to do things, and we like them, and we want to help them. And they would give us rice to give to the kids. And they started getting involved in the various programs. But the fact is that it was a backdoor ministry. And there's a Bible verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. You don't need to turn to it, but I just want to share it. It says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set an open door before you, and no man can shut it. For thou hast had little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. We started the orphanages so that we could help the children. Then you have to have a place for them to worship. So we began church services in the orphanage. And then when they get to a point where we realize they need a school, they need to get some education. These children need to learn to read. And we started Christian schools. And then we realized that, we can't send them all to America. It would be impossible to get them to go off to the college in America. Not all of them we couldn't do it. A few we can. So we started the Bible schools in Burma and Cambodia. And God blessed through our open or backdoor policy that we slipped in through the cracks. Now, there are people that would say, Brother Donahue, you got it all backwards. Well, I don't know. The end result is souls being saved. So they say, well, you got it backwards. You're supposed to start the church first and then let the church start the orphanage. Well, that's fine in some countries, but not in Buddhist countries. And we're thankful that we were able to get involved with this. And how God had blessed us. We've saw children trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior throughout the years. We're heading towards our 22nd year in our ministry in Asia. Now I want to just share something with you. I want to ask you not to judge the song by the singer, but hear the words. Linda and I and our family, we had a song that became our song, our family song. But it wasn't sung by Elvis Presley. And it was sung by Christian people. And I'm going to attempt to share it with you. The song goes like this. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave your world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new life in me you will find. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'd be willing to do. And whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. I'll take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, Lord, to draw you closer to me. Let my disappointments come, lonely days without the sun, if in sorrow like you I'll become. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'd be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'd be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. You know, the Bible says it's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. We make commitments of faith promise. We make commitments to, we're going to do certain things and we're going to help certain people and all. But we're better off saying nothing than not doing what we say we're going to do. And basically, this is what this is all about. Me personally, I have need of nothing. People come to me and they say, well, how much more do you need for Christmas for the kids? I don't need anything. This is God's bill, not mine. And please don't think that you're giving it to me, because everything is going to those children. We're short by $1,900, and I believe God is going to supply. I got peace about it. I've watched him supply throughout the years. When we first came to this church over 30 years ago, I told Pastor Carter, I said, I'm going to come. I got to spend maybe a month to get to know the people, and then I got to go out and raise money. A week later, I got a check for $10,000 in the mail. I said, I'm not going anywhere. And I stayed here. And some of those $10,000 checks became $40,000 checks and $30,000 checks. And we built building after building after building and never had one penny debt in all those years. God supplied and provided every morsel of food. I'll use that term again. Everything. Eggs, meat, cheese. Brother Morgan was there. He knows. We were well taken care of. God blessed us. So when I say we're looking to help the children, we need $5,667. We're only $1,900 away from it, and it's not impossible. I've set up photos. I set up photos of the ministry for the last 20 years. Actually, 21 years, and I'm hoping that these pictures will help you to see what we've been doing and how we've progressed through the years, from the little building that we rented to start out with, to the Bible College building that we have all of our own, our building that we built and we're going to dedicate it in January. We're watching miracle after miracle. Well, I'll share with you as we go on. But I want to take you on a photo trip through the last 21 years and see how the kids have grown and how they've grown up and graduated from our schools and graduated from our Bible schools and state colleges and also a list of some of the things that the kids have done. We have pastors, pastors' wives. We have orphanage directors. We have some teaching in our Bible schools. We have policemen. We have five nurses that have just graduated from nursing school. We have a building contractor, mechanics, Sunday school teachers, a soldier, and a missionary family out of our orphanage, a husband and wife in missionaries to Laos. So we're increasing our ministry to other borders, to other countries, to be able to help other people. Now, I want to say this. All of this is your blessing. You've earned the blessing for what you'll see on these videos. You've earned the blessing for the souls that have been saved through the years. Brother, you could turn that video on. I have not done this. You have done this through your faith promise giving, through your the love offerings that people have come up and shook our hand and said, "Go get that building," and they give us what we need. Go ahead, let it rip, brother. I'm gonna try to talk a little bit through this so we don't lose sound on the radio. This is Linda and I, handsome fella, isn't he? Hey, there we go. Okay, here's Linda. Our first orphanage back in 2000 with the young girls there. She was sharing the gospel with them and just having a sweet time. And here and still in 2000, this was our first orphanage, the first building that we rented and established the orphanage in. This little girl came. She was scared to death of this fat, bald-headed old man, me. And she was afraid of me, like you had a vicious dog coming at her. Here she is 2 years later. Now she smiles at me. But think about this. This is a long time ago. She's married now and has two children of her own. Here's another orphanage that we started after a church service. And you can see it's not just children. We have adults in here and the people being saved. Here's Linda in another program we had a year later in 2001. She's sitting on the floor of this apartment complex and teaching children. This little girl died 2 weeks after this picture was taken. She died of cholera and other complications. This is one of our pastors. He's been here in this church. He's come to visit here, and he is as faithful as could be. He's trying to get his son to get a visa to come to our college. 2003 now we're up to. Here's that little girl in the front there again. But these are the children at the Asara orphanage. These two ladies on the right are HIV positive, and they are involved in our HIV ministry that we have for ladies. Here's another orphanage started. That's the building in the back. They go up the wooden stairs, and they all live up in that building until we can get the building finished, which we have since then. This is Thanksgiving supper, or Christmas supper. Don't look like much. Willie gets dressed. A little pun on the word dressed, you know. Anyway, okay. They're dressing them now, getting ready for the big celebration. We invite the community in to come and have a meal with us. This is an orphanage. The building has just been finished, and the two buildings on each side are complete, the girls' dorm, the boys' dorm. In the middle, we have church services. That may be a Mac Burger, but it's not the kind of Mac Burger you're thinking of. Unless you like fish oil on your hamburgers. Okay, this is another orphanage in Burma. We had a morning service with the children there. This is in Cambodia, 2006 now. And a little boy in the front there is mentally challenged, and we're able to help him for a while until it got out of hand. This is one of the Chinese temples. You can pick your own god here. Whoever you want to worship, just worship to that particular god. This is the street scenes in Cambodia to see how the people live there and the various things going on. This is another street scene of a market where You could buy just anything you need. You could buy any medicine you want. You could buy, you name it, they have it there. This is the outside of the Chinese, another view of that Chinese temple. I just was impressed with the looks of the front of the building. Here's a little boy on 2005, Christmas Day. He got the clothes that we, the money we sent over. They bought clothes and shoes and all. These are the shirts for the children. And these are the boy shirts anyway. And it's just amazing. It's just totally amazing how we were able to do it. This is our Christian school building. We built it in 2006, and it's been going ever since. We have two floors with the chapel down below. This is in Kalemio, children's town, basically, it means. And these are just some street scene. You see that the people are wearing longis there. That's the long dress for the men. And here's some of the children in the orphanage. This is the building where Linda and I were escorted out by the secret police. They marched us downstairs, put us in a taxi, and took us to our hotel, told us to go home. This is in Yangon. The traffic was mild this particular time. Here's the boys. They're in their longis and they're singing. And when their hands are folded like that, they're not being rude. That's just what they do out of respect. This is our first Bible conference that we had in Burma, 2009. And out of that, the couple going to Laos committed at that conference. This is an orphanage for HIV positive children. Every one of these kids are HIV positive with no hope until they found a new life. This is the view from some of the children with the pastor and his wife. You can see little hats the kids wear at Christmas time. Sort of looks like America, don't it? But this is the pastor's wife with the children. They're singing and having a good time. Brother Knaus was with us at this church, at this program in Burma. Here's the girls that graduated. They didn't graduate at this time, but they graduated since from nursing school. So we have five nurses out of our orphanage that have progressed. Here's Linda and I in 2013 with a young lady from Cambodia. These kids just love Linda to death. They just amazed at that she's willing to go, and she's as old as she is, you know, and still goes. I said that low so she didn't hear me. And then 2013, this is another orphanage that being established in the growing stages. They're all living in the building behind it. We bought umbrellas for the kids. Rainy season, you got to have an umbrella to go to school. And we bought 500 umbrellas. And this is just one picture with the kids with the umbrellas. This is one of the buildings that we just, it's almost finished. They're getting ready to move in within weeks into this building here. Here's one of the choir from our Liberty Bible Institute in Cambodia, in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Again, the first building that I said, this is a building that's finished, this is where it started. This is how it began. And in a little area like this near the garbage dump. Here I am preaching at a people loaned us their house to have a service, and quite a few people got to say, Richard, I believe, was with us in this place. Weren't you, Richard? Amen. Yeah. Also, this is in Cambodia, and a bunch of pastors and people there. This is the orphanage in Cambodia, the Landmark Baptist Orphanage in Cambodia. And here again, these were the students in 2018 at the Bible, our Bible school, Landmark Bible College. And the man on the right there, he is the pastor. These are eight of our pastors in Cambodia. Eight of our pastors that are faithful men that serve God. This is up in Siem Reap, a big tourist area. And we had a conference there with these pastors and their wives going through scriptures with them. And here is 2019 now. There's Brother Canals up in the back there. He had a smiling face. His son had an opportunity to preach there or speak there. And this is Janut. Some of you might know Janut in the college. This is just before she came here. I was at their church. And here she is on the plane, scared, sad, coming to America. And hard to believe that in a few months she's going to be going back, graduating. Here's a church building being completed, the stucco, the drywall work going up. They're working as quickly as they can because it's a week before the opening. This is in China, 2020, when the virus was raging and they never told us a word about it. Here's a lady that got saved on a plane. We left Beijing, and she trusted Jesus as a Lord and Savior. And what a blessing, what a blessing. And here's Kim with two ladies from the village. It's just her precious friend. Here I am going off to Asia at the airport, saying our goodbyes and looking forward to seeing what God has for us back in January. The lady on the right, a stewardess on the plane from England, she got saved. The girl on the left was from Korea. She was saved, but she got assurance of her salvation on the plane. Here's Kim teaching her class. Last night she sent me a picture of the class that she has now. It was over 50 children in the building. And here's our Bible school now, 50 students in the attendance. What a blessing. We did all of that for this purpose. They've been saved, they've been educated, and now they're following the Lord in believers' baptism. I could not baptize because of the problems with my arms, but we've been blessed to be able to have the baptismal service on this water. Not just kids, but adults also. This is the results of your faith promise. He didn't keep under that long though. So. Take ye and drink it all. Amen. And here's a girl getting ready to be baptized. And a young man waiting to be next, one of our pastors. And here's a group that came out, some to observe and most to be baptized. Folks, this is it. This is what we do. This is the goal and the purpose. We thank you for your faithful support through the years. You can shut that off, guys. We've been blessed. I received the blessing from the smiling kids, from the seeing the great things that has happened in the lives of the children. And I want to ask you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. A familiar story, I trust, in Scripture. And I'm going to try to incorporate Daniel, chapter 3, into missions, if I can. The whole book is missions, from Genesis to Revelation. So it's not hard to incorporate it. At the time, right now, we have 16 churches, functioning churches. We have three Christian schools. We have a total of 1,029 in our attendance in our schools. We had 94 saved my last trip over. And then we had baptism, 63 baptism. You saw a bunch of them right there. So the key is that we're going to help children with this Christmas offering that we take every year. And it's $5,600 and something, but when you multiply it by all of the children, it's about 98 cents a child. And that's not a lot of money. I know every one of us have spent more than 98 cents on our children at Christmas time. We pay that for the wrappers, for the paper alone. But anyway, what I want to do is, there's a story in this scripture in chapter 3, verse 1 through 30 anyway. A very, very proud king decided, his name was Nebuchadnezzar, and he set up this golden image. And this image, it was something that he probably remembered from a dream that he had, and he set up this golden image, and he commands all the people of his country to bow down and worship it. And if they did not worship it, he had a terrible penalty that he was gonna fix for their disobedience. And there's three Jewish boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three boys were accused of refusing to bow down to the golden image. So I sort of think about these sorry football players. That they're taking a knee, but they don't even understand why they're taking that knee. And but anyway, that's, I don't want to go off too far. I won't be able to get back, maybe. But anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. And the king potentially demands of them, and I'm trying to save time, folks, by not going through the scriptures. That he said, is it true that you will not bow down? And they said, yes, sir. And they defied the king, verse 16. They were thrown down into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that the king was astonished. He was shocked. He said, count with me, 1, 2, 3, 4. We only put 3 men in there. Who is that fourth one? We sing a song, who's that fourth one walking in the fire? But the fact is, he said, it likened to the Son of God. It was very clear to that king that what had happened, that these young Jewish boys who refused to bow down to the golden idol, they were able to walk with God in the fire. What a blessing. What a blessing. And so anyway, they came up and they pulled them up out of the fire. They were released and totally unharmed. Their clothing did not even smell from the fire or the smoke. They were so protected. And the king turned around and the king blessed God. Now, folks, you say, what does this have to do with missions? It has to do with being faithful in another country. You know, there are missionaries that go to other countries and they go to sleep. They have all that zeal that they've been at conferences and I'm going to do this, I'll go here, I'll do this, I'll go there. And then when it comes down to it, you watch them 2 years later and it just didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Because they did not make that commitment. Like the song that we said, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. And we all ought to be willing that way. We all, every one of us ought to be a missionary. In my church in the Bronx, as you walked out the doors to 204th Street where the church was, there was a sign across the door that says, you are now entering the mission field. Every one of my members, I wanted them to be missionaries. They didn't have to go across the world because they could reach Germans in New York. They can reach French in New York. They can reach Haitians in New York. They can reach Puerto Ricans in New York. They can reach, I mean, you name it. Every nation is represented there in that small area of the Bronx. 6 million people. 2.5 million people, excuse me. But the fact is that we were determined. We told them, look, a missionary came to us. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. Now, we didn't have any money, but we had a lot of faith. And I told him, I said, you come to our church, you join our church, and you spend 1 year here. You go into Germany, I'll give you a bus, and I'll send you into an area where it's all German people. And you can go there, you can reach them, you can learn their language, you can learn their customs, you can spend time with them, and you bring that busload of German people into this church. You do that for 1 year, and we will totally support you. That's not healthy for a missionary to have one church supporting them. I realize that. But the fact is that there was a plan that I had that not only would we be growing our ministry, but we'd be developing these missionaries to be able to go into these areas, these pockets of people in New York City. and maybe German, French, Italian, whatever it may be. Now, the fact is that it's a great need. So here was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in a foreign land. They refused to eat the foreign food that was not accepted by the Bible. They refused to bow down to the idol. They refused to obey the king. They even told the king, they said, "My God will deliver us." And they made no bones about it. And they said, "Hey, we're not afraid to tell you, king, that God's going to deliver us. And if he don't, we still will not bow down to your idol."
Amen.
That's powerful. Amen. And that's what missionaries ought to be considering when they're going off to the field. They ought to be willing to be a testimony to the people around them. When we went into Burma, we opened up the orphanages and the people trusted us. We were able to reach them in different ways, but we didn't compromise our stand. We never compromised the Word of God. We never compromised soul winning. We never compromised preaching. We never compromised singing as loud as we could. And there were times when people would bang on pots and pans and holler and scream outside of the walls of the building trying to drown us out. And we'd just sing even louder and louder and louder until finally got to the point where they'd give up. But the fact is that we were not going to compromise what we were doing for the Lord because we're in a foreign land. I was staying at a hotel in the early years, and the bunch of missionaries, or Christians, I should say, they said they were Christians. They were Episcopals. I don't know if Episcopals are Christians or not. I can't even spell it, let alone. But anyway, they came in and they said they were with the Episcopal Church and they were helping different programs within the within Burma, and they one started talking to me and I told him I was a Baptist missionary and told him what we were doing and all, and he said, "Come on over here and join us at our table." And I look over at their table and there's six bottles of beer on the table. I said, "No, I think I'm okay over here. You don't mind." And I always sat near the window so people could see that I wasn't drinking any of the hooch. But anyway, there are missionaries there, and they call themselves missionaries, and they hurt the missionaries. A good man will go there and try to serve the Lord, and people say, "Oh, yeah, but do you know so-and-so when he was here, what he did?" And it's heartbreaking. You know, I had an opportunity to spend a little bit of time in Brother Morgan's ministry in Romania, and those people could never say that Brother Morgan violated anything in the Word of God. They could never say it. And they loved him and Susan. They loved their kids, and it was just it was such a blessing, so refreshing to see, because I knew Brother Morgan. I knew his position. I knew where he stood. He even had my daughter Beth follow in their footsteps to Oklahoma Baptist College and get her education and find a husband and give us six grandchildren. You know, so what a blessing. What a blessing that this man was faithful. I thought the kids were singing "Faithful" before. I missed what they were singing. It was "Thankful." But I was thinking about Brother Morgan when I hear "Faithful." Because he is. And you can take it to the bank. And I'm not here preaching about Brother Morgan, but I just wanted you to know that he was faithful to the Lord in a foreign land. These young boys were being faithful to God in a foreign land. Even though the king said they had to bow down, they refused to bow down. And they also there was hatred and unreasoning opposition for these young men, and they'll be that way for missionaries. Also, faith in God. We need to be ready for God's deliverance from the fires, but if not, be willing to go through the fires with him. You know, these young men, they feared not. And the fact is, the Bible says, Fear not them that can kill the body, because they can't do it anymore. Once you're dead, you're dead. They can't hurt you any longer. So you don't fear them that can kill the body. But we have to be careful of the ones that will try to corrupt the soul, try to corrupt our testimony, and try to bring us down that way. And then we realize that every trial that a missionary goes through will only make them stronger. Every trial that we all go through. You know, a doctor told me when I had surgery, he said, you know, we cut you open about that long. And he said, when we cut you open, he says, the scar tissue is going to be stronger than your original skin. And sometimes we need to go through the trial. Sometimes we need to go through the operation. Sometimes we need to go through that testing so that we become stronger for the Lord. And so basically that's what I'm trying to bring out. The deliverance, the law of fire is to destroy, but there's a higher law, the law of faith. God wants to take that mission budget, and look how close we are. You know, if we took up an offering tonight, we could take care of that. We could all kick in tonight, and we could wipe that thing out right now. Wouldn't it be nice for the pastor to come back and say, whoa, what happened? Well, we had a special offering. We took care of it. And we could do it. It's that close. But I think we could go on way beyond that. And when I was a kid, we used to go to the carnivals. And they had the big hammer. And the guy with big, strong guy would get that big old hammer, and he'd pound on that thing, and it'd go up almost to the bell. Next guy would get up, and he'd hammer it, and the bell would hit. And so that's like hitting the bell right now, you know. But I think about on the cartoons with the Three Stooges and all of those guys, you know, those great educational guys, you know. And they would turn around and they'd hit that thing, and the bell would go flying off the top of it and then knock one of them in the head. But I'd love to see us knock the bell off the top. I'd love to see us go beyond. We can see it go exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. God wants to bless us. And he said, hey, look, you know, I'm not asking for your money. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Well, you need money? I'll take care of it and you go on. I might have shared with you one time, and I'm going to close with this thought. We had a little lady in our church, Spanish lady, loved her to death, and she was just a sweetheart. She didn't understand faith promise, but she understood that she should be willing to give. And she committed to $10 a week, and that was a lot of money to this lady. And she did everything she could to get this $10, and she got down near the end of the year, she was 3 weeks short to the commitment she had. And she was cleaning her house. Her husband wasn't very supportive of her being in church. He was an alcoholic, and he would get money, and he'd hide money all over the house. So whenever she needed money, she'd look around because he'd be drunk and he'd forget where he put it. And she'd find the money and then put it into the faith promise, you know. So she said, finally, I looked everywhere. There was nothing. She said, all of a sudden, my little girl took a book down. And she said, Mommy, Mommy, look, look. And there was $30 sitting in that book that fell down on the floor. And she says, thank you, Lord. God supplied through her drunken husband. Brother Carter talks about his racing buddies. They learned to tithe whether they wanted to or not. He was tithing the money, you know. So here's this lady. She gave it, and she was so happy and so blessed. You know, about a year later, her husband got saved. And what a change in his life. What a change in his life. So the key is we need to look for ways that we can trust God. That's all it takes. Trust God. Lord, I'm going to give you something, but I don't have it. But I'm going to trust you that you'll give it so I can give it to the missionaries. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we ask you now, Lord, realizing, Lord, that there are many people in this room. I don't know everybody's heart. I don't know that all the people here have committed to missions, but I pray that they do. But Lord, I also pray if there's one here that's never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that this would truly be the day of salvation for them. I ask you now, Lord, to show them, Lord, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is not one righteous, no, not one perfect person in all the world. And Lord, help them to see that the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to hearts as we continue in this invitation. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Morgan.
You can stand with me, please. Heads bowed. And we're just going to have a couple of short verses. Brother Bird, if you'll lead us in something.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
As we were watching that video and you see the smiles on them little kids' faces, and folks, that's where your money's going. You know, I was sitting up here thinking, I know their economy's tight and wallets are tight, and I think people will stop and they'll pay $8 for a cup of coffee. Imagine what that $8 would do in Burma. You know, it's just so many ways that we can find a way to give. We might not be able to go to the field, but we can send our love and our hearts and our care through our wallets, amen? Just a few dollars here and there at the end of the year with everybody adds up to a great deal. Something to pray about and think about. I know I can certainly do more. I think we all can do more. It'd be great to see more of those buildings go up there. More children, more adults, all over the world, over in Chile with Brother Mullins, and over in Romania. There's a lot of people that are being saved. And folks, we need to keep getting it out there. I would love to see that budget go up and not down, amen? And if you're here tonight and you're without Christ, you probably don't understand what all the fuss is about, what's really going on. And until you get your life right with God, you're never going to understand what the rest of us are talking about. So we're going to sing another verse, and if you don't know Christ and you would like to be saved, come on down, walk this aisle, and I'll take a Bible and show you how you can come to know the Lord. Brother Bert.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thank you, Brother Bert. All right, I'll let you be seated here. We got a Miss Ariana Carranza. This young lady has accepted Christ, and her mom and daddy has spoke with her and dealt with her, and she is wanting to be baptized tonight. So let's vote on her. If you would accept this young lady into the fold, amen. So if you want to take her on around, get mama to carry her around there, and we'll get her ready for baptism, amen. All right, well, Brother Bert, you want to sing a couple of verses of somebody? Amen.
I can let everyone else sing with us, okay? I don't want to sing a solo, but you guys can sing with me. How about that? 280. 280, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Amen. 280.
dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine. Living with Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Moment by moment, kept in his love. Moment by moment, life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine.
Ariana, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in newness of life.
Well, let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for the one that's been baptized tonight, Lord. We ask your blessings upon Sister Carranza. And Father, as we depart tonight, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to meditate upon what we've heard tonight, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Lord. And we just pray that you'll work in our hearts. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.